Welcome back to EIA Radio. Steve Bose along with Jim Gray, now joined by Steve McCauley, and he is the Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Welcome to EIA Radio. Actually, welcome back.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Good. So tell us a little bit about how the Seaplane Pilots Association has enjoyed this week at AirVenture. I mean, we had some rain for you. We had some puddles. And
oh, yeah. You know, it's been a great show. It's funny to be here again at the last day when everything gets quiet and people start leaving. You go through the end of show remorse.
Yes.
It's been, and you already start looking forward to next year. But it's been a great year. We gave away a couple scholarships this year, which was a really wonderful thing to be able to do for the first time. It's our 40th anniversary of the association. And, of course, we're the world's largest association that goes out there and does advocacy to keep waterways open for seaplanes and to get people involved in training and to support the manufacturers. And this year we did something different. We actually gave away two fully paid for scholarships for young pilots to do seaplane ratings that attended the show. We took applications at the show, and we awarded the scholarships at our corn roast on Thursday night.
Excellent. So do we have an announcement as to whom they are?
I was Paul O'Neill and Lindsay Luck out of California. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful thing for them, obviously. So we're looking forward to...
Yeah, and I know Lindsay. She's very involved with her EIA chapter out there.
Oh, yeah, so you're familiar with... She's the youngest EIA chapter president in history.
I think so, as age 18, and she's taken over her chapter and really revitalized it and brought them back, helping recruit a number of new members. And I knew she was a pilot. I had no idea she had any interest in seaplane flying.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I actually was out in California and had some opportunity to fly with her and spend some time with her out in California over the last couple of years. And she showed up in our booth asking for an application, and it was a warm, smiley face. She's doing amazing things out there.
Yes, that's one of the new faces in our young faces in aviation. We were talking about some of the younger folks who are now suddenly popping up all over the place.
Yeah, that's what we need.
It's
we
really
need
not good to see. Yeah.
Yeah. As you know, as AOPA, EIA, Seaplane Pilots Association, as all of our associations are kind of faced with an aging membership and demographic, it's very important that we bring young people into the world of flying. And so that's what my, you know, one of my big agendas is to do everything we can to get young people exposed to this wonderful way of life that we live. And Lindsay's a perfect example. She's going to be a superstar in aviation in the future.
I think so. How many members do you have in the Seaplane Pilots Association?
We've got about 8,000 very active members. And, of course, we put out Waterflying Magazine as well, full-color glossy magazine, with Mark Twombly at the helm as the editor on that, which is a great honor to work with Mark.
Sure.
And great guy. Great guy.
And are most of your activities, I guess, are split this week between here on the main site and the seaplane base?
Yeah, it's a real juggling act. We've got a presence out at the seaplane base, of course. We were doing some filming out there as well. And, of course, a double booth here in Hangar C. And then we do our corn roast every Thursday night during Oshkosh, and we have over 700 pilots come and enjoy that.
Where's that at?
It's at the end of the parking area, down where the amphibs park on the field, and there's the very last access gate that runs off of the field. We have a private piece of property just off the field.
Good. So we put that on the list for next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sneak down to the south end and enjoy the corn roast.
As a seaplane pilot, I will tell you that it's a shame that I have not been out to the seaplane base more while I'm here, but it's one of those things that everybody needs to get out there. See what's going on that side of the field.
Oh yeah,
and it's a nice little decompression point too, because this is like the inner city action all the time, intense, and you go out there and it's like,
It's funny you should say that, because as we were doing our film work out there, that was one of the things I was pointing out, that when you need a break from the main show, a lot of people never make it out there, don't even know it exists. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, one of the largest collection of seaplanes you'll ever see anywhere at the show. And it's funny because you walk through the woods, which gives you a chance to change your pace a little bit, and you come out the end and you're in this wonderful little harbor and lagoon there. And everyone's walking slow. It's not like here. I mean, everyone's darting around like, you know, ants all over the place. And they got to get to that next vendor. They got to see that next airplane fly. And, you go out there and everyone's slow and nice. And it is. There's shade, so there's plenty of shade under the tree. There's food there. You can watch the airplanes fly. It's just a wonderful environment.
Do you have a favorite seaplane?
I don't. I've got time in 36 seaplanes.
Okay.
And they're all great. You know, I love them all. I get the opportunity to fly a lot of J3s. Okay. I've been flying an air cam quite a bit on floats and love the air cam. That's a very unique experience. But I also, you know, I'm kind of partial to the albatrosses. I've had the good fortune of getting an albatross type rating, and I was married in an albatross in flight over the Grand Canyon.
Nice.
And so I kind of fell in love with the albatross, and so that's you know, heart kind of pulls in that direction.
Okay. Was there anything that stood out for you at the seaplane base? Any unusual designs that showed up, or any really great restorations that just caught your eye?
Troy McVeigh from Max Seaplane Service out of Rising Sun, Indiana, had a gorgeous polished Cessna 195 out there. And a matter of fact, on the way home, I'm stopping in Rising Sun, Indiana to fly that airplane. But there's only about six Cessna 195s in the world on floats. And Troy's is probably the nicest one there is. And I've had the opportunity to fly a couple of the other Cessna 195s, and I'll be stopping.
How does he keep that shiny?
Yes.
Seaplane polished aluminum just doesn't seem to go together.
I know. The only thing, it's funny because I was thinking, you can tell people that live in northern climates because when there's a long winter, they have a lot of time to polish their airplane.
Yes, we do.
A seaplane doesn't, if they don't put it on gear and they put it in storage for the winter, there's a lot of time to go get your airplane fixed by polishing the airplane.
That's right. Now, with the Seaplane Pilots Association, you mentioned advocacy. What are some of the challenges that you're dealing with to make sure that your members and all of us who want to take advantage of flying off water have that opportunity?
Well, we work everywhere from the top down, federal, state, and local governmental agencies. We try to identify who controls the water and how we can, not only open it up for our members, but satisfy those agencies or those people that control the water that, look, this is an advantageous activity to occur. There are no real conflicts for boating. There's no documented incidences of any, conflict between boating and seaplanes. And the other thing is, we're bringing commerce in. And one of the things that I love selling about it is that when you there's just this natural sense of romance and mystique about seaplanes. So when we come into a waterfront restaurant or we pull up on a beach somewhere, the community comes out. And our pilots, I call them the ambassadors of adventure, because what we do is we share our airplanes and our stories and our lifestyle with people. And I really consider that a huge community benefit. The towns just come out. Wherever we go, people, they're just attracted to the airplanes like magnets. So I love that part of it. But we're also really involved in getting youth going. We're working with colleges to get a 141 program where kids can actually, that are in a professional pilot program, can actually get college credit for doing their seaplane rating. And that's really important to me because as we've seen the advent of the G1000 cockpits, I don't believe we're really instilling stick and rudder skills or teaching stick and rudder skills to people, these young pilots, at a very early point in their career. So by flying a seaplane low in the, low to the ground, generally under 500 feet, and it really requires a lot of stick and rudder skills. So there's a lot of positives to it.
It seems that there's been a kind of a retraction of the number of seaplane operators that are flying, or maybe it's not so much a retraction in total, but it's kind of a number of different organizations that are flying. You'll say the flying the fishermen in and doing things like that. Is that another advocacy point for you folks?
Yeah, the more people see the airplanes, then the more it gets it out there. And I think the economy took a beating on everyone. They're very expensive aircraft to operate. They're very expensive to. I don't want to say that. There's a perception that they're very expensive because really, they're not. Yeah, people always say to me, I can't afford you know, to fly a seaplane and this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, do you have a Harley Davidson? Do you have a bass fishing boat? Do you have an RV? If you have any of these things, you can afford to have a seaplane and fly. So in relative, I think it's more of a perception than a reality. But, you know, one of the things that's been interesting, I've been on board a year as the executive director, just over a year. I took over just before Oshkosh last year. And I'm actually seeing a market increase, you know, Max Seaplane Service with the 195, Troy. That's a brand new operation. And I think we're seeing more and more fresh operations, and we're seeing more LSA entries and the Lisa.
Sure.
You know, we're seeing all the Icon. We're seeing a lot of, you know, companies this year at Oshkosh. We had, you know, in a down economy, we had Whip Air introducing a new float for LSAs. We had Aeroset introducing two new floats, one for the Kodiak and one for LSAs. So we're seeing actually kind of a resurgence.
Okay, so we're on the rebound.
Yeah, I think so. Which is nice. It's a wonderful.
Very good. Quickly, before we run out of time, tell us a little bit about the foundation that the association is also with.
Yes, we have a Seaplane Pilots Foundation, and that foundation is mainly supports research, and then of course it works with our scholarship program and supports things that help expand and add to the mission of the Seaplane Pilots Association. So people, it's completely tax deductible. People can donate to the Seaplane Pilots Foundation. You know, you can go to our website, seaplanes.org, find out more information, and of course you can always email me. It's very easy, steve@seaplanes.org. I make it very easy, and I'll be more than happy to do anything I can to tell anyone about what it's like to be part of this community.
Excellent, excellent. So if you have a passion for flying on floats or with amphibs, and you want to support the future generation, you can donate through the foundation for the scholarships and for research. And of course, if you are into flying off water, you should be a member of the Seaplane Pilots Association so that you can stand together with your fellow pilots in the advocacy efforts when those are necessary. And then it's just plain fun.
It's just plain fun, yeah. You know, put the adventure back in your flying. Get out and you know, that counts as a BFR. And it's, you know, you can do That's true. Rating in 3 days for about less than $2,000, and it'll be the most fun you ever had flying.
You know, a number of people have said that. They've done, like Jack Brown's in the Lakeland area is famous for that. And they say it's more fun than you should be able to have in an airplane.
There's our cover girl. This turban goose that's taxiing by the booth here is on the cover of our magazine this month.
Excellent. How appropriate. Thank you, Steve, for joining us this morning. We'll be back with more on EIA Radio.